Gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to the Experience Hockey Talk, Serious Hockey Talk for serious hockey fans, and to our first episode of the 2021-22 season. Coming into you very late into the season, but better late than never, as they always say. I'm Michael Lindenbaum, being joined by co-host number 6,722, Mr. Ethan Bloom. How you doing, buddy?
6,170. What was that again?
I mean, I have gone through, in the history of this podcast, I have gone through quite a few co-hosts, which is why it's hard to keep it consistent.
Ladies and gentlemen, this man loves to make me feel appreciated in some way, shape, and or form. And this makes me feel so appreciated. I can just feel the warmth.
Yes, yes. Realistically, you're not like the 6,000 whatever number.
Obviously not.
If that was the case, something would be really wrong with this podcast.
Yeah. Like, how is this podcast still going on? Type of really wrong. Or there might be something wrong with you. But anyway,
besides my beautiful looks, which are non-existent,
weird Al,
which is why
weird
I'm Al on Yankovic, a podcast.
Your Weird Al Yankovic on Boobange looks.
But so real quick, everyone knows who I am because I've been doing this for like 7 years now. Ethan, why don't you tell the people about yourself super quick?
Well, my name is Ethan Bloom. I am a diehard Rangers fan. Yes, yes, I can feel your hatred. Feel it. Because I know a lot of you are Washington Capitals fans, and many of you do not like the Rangers. I am, in fact, a Rangers fan. I am currently recording this from my home in New Jersey. No, I am not a Devils fan. I don't think I will ever be a Devils fan. I don't like Martin Brodeur.
Which is like... very interesting because, like, I'm looking at the shirt that you're wearing,
and it's red and black.
It's almost like you're wearing a Devils jersey.
I know. But it's supposed to be like 60 degrees, and it's going to be, and I want to wear a light shirt, and this is a light shirt. So, and my Mike Richter shirt is in fact very, very dirty. So because I wore the ever living daylights out of it, because Mike Richter just is the dirty, my favorite player boy. Of all time. So what?
You're just a dirty, dirty boy.
Wow, dude. Wow.
But anyways,
that's a drop. But yeah, Mike Richter being my favorite player of all time may not have been the greatest goalie of all time, but he will always be the number one in my heart. So that, I guess, is a little bit about me. I'm just a hockey fan in general. I love me my Northeastern University Huskies. I also love me, again, my New York Rangers. I bleed blue.
Yep. I guess you can thank Tom Wilson for fixing your team in a way.
Yeah, we could thank Tom Wilson about that. Now, shouldn't we?
He broke your team to only have your team fix itself.
Well, we're not... we don't like Tom Wilson, that is for certain. But in the end, he has done good things for us, albeit probably not things that he intended for it to happen. But we'll Tom Wilson has, that. In fact, galvanized us in a way. He's not going to be at the level of our notorious hatred of one such former Islanders player, Dennis Potvin.
Or Santa Claus.
No.
I mean, keep in mind, y'all with the Islanders started a Santa Claus brawl.
Yes, we did. But but you have to understand, it's the Islanders. As of late, our newfound true vitriolic hatred of PK Subban.
But anyway,
who's earned himself a spot on the Dennis Potvin wall of shame for the New York Rangers.
But going from there, we're going to start off with some Washington Capitals talk. Next segment, we'll actually go more into the Rangers. We got some women's hockey talk and obviously NHL news and notes around the league. There isn't a lot. There actually weirdly has not been a lot of news and notes. So it's going to be kind of a smaller one. So you'll probably get a little bit more women's hockey, and we'll just talk about stuff like obviously the trade deadline's coming up. So we're going to talk about that, what the Caps could possibly do, what the Rangers could possibly do, where we could see other players moving, and what other teams could potentially do as the trade deadline nears. So with that, starting off, Capitals had three games this past week. They took on the Toronto Maple Leafs, Carolina Hurricanes, and the Seattle Kraken. Monday night, the Caps took on the Leafs, and they would fall 5-3 to them. This was I didn't get to see this game, so I can't really talk about this game, honestly. I'm taking video editing classes. Keep an eye on the social media, because stuff I'm learning might lead into something really cool for potentially the playoffs, and if I don't do it in the playoffs, for next season. So keep that in mind. But overall, from what I've heard and talked to and some highlights, like, the Caps didn't play bad, but you can kind of tell that, you know, the loss was a frustration point for the Capitals. Alex Ovechkin broke his stick, and you know, out of frustration, you can kind of feel it, you know, and I agree with that, because it has been at least a frustrating time for the Caps. There hasn't been a lot of consistency with the team. But then you go into Thursday night against the Carolina Hurricanes, and the Capitals would actually play really well. Anthony Mantha would return to the lineup, and they would, and you just got this feeling that, you know, the Capitals have their mojo back, because now that they're getting healthy, I think this was also the first game where the Capitals actually played with their full lineup for the first time all season. Did they have
their mojo back?
Well, yeah, I'll get there. The Capitals would go on to defeat the Hurricanes, who are currently first in the league in the division. They beat them 4-0. So, in a good victory. And also, this was a game where Vitek Vanacek took over between the pipes as the starter. Previously in the game against Toronto, Ilya Samsonov was the starter, but was pulled in favor for Vanacek in relief. Vanacek would record his third shutout of the season and his fifth of his career, which would also be Capitals Pride Night for the Caps. You would get goals from Evgeny Kuznetsov, Martin Ferrivari, Alex Ovechkin would net his 763rd career goal, and Dmitry Orlov would strike in the 4-0 victory over the Hurricanes. And then last night, a game that I was at, the Washington Capitals hosted the Seattle Kraken for the first time in the Kraken's franchise history. And first period, around the 11:30 mark, Tom Wilson would pick up the puck from Alex Ovechkin, drive to the net, bury that sucker past Chris Dreiger. They give the Caps the 1-0 lead. And then 34 seconds later, Dmitry Orlov would net a goal in his second straight game, or possibly third straight game. Goes the Toronto thing. Nope. Second straight game. To give the Caps the 2-goal lead. Howard Jonas Donskoy would score to get the Kraken back within one. Going into the second period, Colin Blackwell would score 58 seconds into the period to tie the game at 2. But a little later on in the period, Connor Sheary would score on the power play with a nice, juicy rebound in the crease off of a Tom Wilson shot. Ethan, for all those who can't see, because it's an audio podcast, is just shaking his head in disappointment every time I mention Tom Wilson, to retake the lead for the Caps. And then
dirty player.
So I will get to that because I have this conversation with my father all the time about Wilson, but we'll save that for later in the show when we do like hot takes and stuff. But then going into the third period, the Capitals would have an abbreviated power play. And 47 seconds into the period, Alexander Ovechkin would rip a bullet from his office to grow the Caps lead to 2 and put himself one goal behind Jaromir Jagr for 3rd overall in NHL goal scoring, and potentially can do that. And then Sheary would get the empty netter to give the Capitals the 5-2 victory over the Seattle Kraken, which would even up their regular season series at 1, because back when the Capitals took on the Seattle in Seattle, that's a weird way of saying it, the Kraken would actually ironically defeat the Capitals 5-2. So the home teams have won their games respectively 5-2 this season. Overall, great game. I couldn't really see a lot of the goals because I had a person in front of me and I had a bunch of people who got up a bit, but it is what it is. But I did get to meet Alex Brunstrom and the Chirpin DMV and some of the other people from Chirpin DMV. Really great people. Great conversations were had like during the intermissions and stuff. There's a picture of us together on the TXHT Twitter. Definitely check those guys out, and who knows, maybe they'll be on here and I'll be on there for some future stuff. So definitely shout out to Chirpin DMV. As for news and notes, Carl Hagelin is out indefinitely due to a serious eye injury. He had surgery on his eye Tuesday night after suffering the injury in practice. It should be noted that Hagelin does wear a visor, as it was mandated seasons ago that all players have to wear a visor, with the certain exception of players that were in the league beforehand and had played X number of games. Hagelin does wear a visor, but he does not wear the visor properly, as he has it risen above his eyes instead of having it cover his eyes, which is how it should be worn. It is also a rule in the NHL rulebook for equipment that the visor must be in front of the eyes and covering the eyes at all times and not risen above. So
now this could, there is the argument that it happened during practice, but as you have stated, this is all the time. And
yeah, you know, like there's actually a picture that I put in the Caps Weekly that came out right before we started recording this. And there's a picture that was taken. It's an AP photo by Derek Hamilton. And it's a picture of Hagelin in a game, you know, with the visor risen above his eyes. Leo Komarov was well known for that. And actually is the only player to be penalized for not wearing the visor properly. There are a handful of other players in the league who don't wear the visor properly. And this is obviously, like, we all remember the Brian Berard injury to his eye. When he took the when he went down the block of shot, he took the follow through of a shot right into his eye, and it literally took him out of the game for like a few seasons, you know. And he really wasn't the same player when he came back. And it's like, that's why visors have become more paramount.
Oh my God, I can already hear the old timey hockey fan saying, "I remember a time where they didn't even wear helmets."
Yeah, and
these pansies.
And we still have a commissioner that denies concussions are a thing and CTE is a thing. So,
well, we all know that he's a puppet of the owners. So,
yeah, mostly Jeremy Jacobs of the Boston Bruins, though.
Definitely.
Yeah.
It is the Boston Bruins, though.
Let's face it. I think he's also the most senior owner out of all the owners, too.
What a shocker.
Capitals also announced that they have placed forwards Joe Snively and obviously Carl Hagelin on long-term IR. Snively is out week to week with an upper body injury. And
it is the upper body.
I mean, we'll get to that because of all this gambling nonsense. Caps obviously also activated forward Anthony Mantha off of IR. Storylines for the Capitals this week were the power play is waking up. So it's no secret that in the Caps weeklies, I have spoken out a lot about the Caps power play and how bad it's been, especially under Blaine Forsythe. However, this week, this was a week where the power play was really good. And when there was when the Caps power play was starting to wake up a little bit, I still erred on the side of caution as I wanted to see a bigger sample size. And thanks to Capitals PR, we have those numbers that we can look at. In the Caps past 13 games, they have gone 13 for 43 for a very respectable 30.2% on the power play. Compared to where they were, they're like 16.4% overall for the season. So seeing that sample size number now in the last 13 games is very good. The Caps have also scored on the power play in 10 of those 13 games as well. For me, looking in, this is very promising for the Caps as we loom closer to the trade deadline and make their push to the playoffs. But let's see how their power play performs in these next 10 games as well, because I want to take it from a 10 games. That way you can really see how the power play is performing. I am still on the push for Blaine Forsythe needing to be relieved of his duties, because he's been with the organization for 13 years. And let's be honest, when we play the Rangers, we play the Islanders, we play the Flyers, we play the Hurricanes, they know what the Caps are going to do every time because it's that static. You know, sure, we played a Seattle team that, you know, is still in a way finding itself, which is kind of
mediocre. Funny. Seattle team. Pretty yeah, mediocre.
But this is how an expansion team is supposed to look. Let's be honest here.
You mean they're not supposed to look like the Vegas Golden Knights.
We can have that debate later, because there's like, we were actually talking about that last night at the Caps game, the Turpin DMV guys and I, especially Alex and I, we were talking a lot about that last night at the game. Cause we're watching the expansion team play at the same time, you know, how ironic. But yeah, I want to see how the Caps power play continues to perform. So like, again, last 13 games, 10 of their 13 games, they've scored a power play goal. They're 13 for 43, which is the 30.2% on the power play since January 28th. So the Capitals power play has been getting better. And what a better time to get better than now when you're getting closer to the playoffs. This is the time you want to start heating up. And then Mantha's back. Anthony Mantha returns to the lineup against the Hurricanes on Thursday. In my personal opinion, watching the game, his return felt like it brought a calm to the Capitals locker room and bench. And throughout the two games that he's played in thus far, the team has been playing more confidently, which is a good thing. That's what you want. The Caps are getting healthy, and the return of Mantha is a piece that has been missing for a while. I like how I've seen Mantha play so far. Obviously, Mantha has come back from shoulder surgery. He was supposed to be at 4 to 6 months. He came back in four, which was the early time frame, which is amazing. It should be noted that Jacob Vrana, who we traded to Detroit for Anthony Mantha, is still out due to shoulder surgery, and he actually was out of he actually had his surgery during training camp. So he had his done in September or late September, early October, and he still isn't back yet for the Detroit Red Wings. So that kind of tells you the type of player that Anthony Mantha is.
Also tells you what kind of doctor he finally went to.
Yeah, that too. And but also I want to throw this out there for Mantha, but it tells you how, like, he really hasn't had the greatest, you know, especially for the start of this season, like the playoffs, he was actually, or last season when we picked him up at the trade deadline, he was doing pretty good. He was producing points. He was playing his game. Playoffs, he didn't really get a good shake, but yet again, the entire team just didn't look that good in the playoffs anyways. But then when they came to this season, like, you can kind of tell that he wasn't really playing his game because he was hurt. And then, as we learned, he ended up having the shoulder surgery. So now that he's back, he's healthy, and he's playing his game, that's a very good thing for not just Mantha, but for the Capitals. Because I think getting that big body back like Anthony Mantha, that's almost the equivalent to a trade deadline pickup. getting a guy back from injury who's been out pretty much all season. So you're looking at that like, well, this is one of our trade deadline pickups, is getting this guy off of IR. And that's a good thing. It's definitely a good thing. Upcoming for the Washington Capitals this week, it is the Western Canada road trip, which is usually done in October. I should note that. This season is being done in March. Starting on Tuesday, the Capitals will take on the Calgary Flames at 9 p.m. Eastern time. That game will be on NBC Sports Washington. And then Wednesday night at 8 p.m., they will take on the Edmonton Oilers on TNT. Please, to the people of TNT, actually call the game and not do all the BS stories, please, because I'm watching the game and I actually work on things while the game's happening. And when you actually call the game, it helps me know what's going on in the actual game of what is on the TV. Just food for thought. It's weird to say that ESPN's announcers are actually doing a really good job of that, especially like John Buschegross with Brian Boucher and Emily Kaplan. Just throwing that out there. And then Friday, March 11th, the Capitals will end their Western Canada road trip in Vancouver with a 10 p.m. start time, and that will be on NBC Sports Washington Plus. So yeah, that is that. There is also some other Caps news, but we're going to say that for the news and notes section for the league, because we need to have something to talk about and not just have it be here. So, and then we'll save Ovi for the news and notes section too, because we can touch a more wider range on that. So with that, ladies and gentlemen, this is promotion time, where we want to reach out and thank our affiliate, CoolHockey.com. Cool Hockey is where myself and many others here at the TXHT team actually get our hockey jerseys from. So if you want quality NHL jerseys with customizations and everything, everything is stitched. It's beautiful. It's amazing. Highly recommended. It is Cool Hockey. And if you click the link that's right above this audio podcast, click the link. We may actually get a portion of your purchase when clicking our link below this podcast episode. So with that, Mr. Ethan, it's time to talk about your New York Rangers. They had two games this week. They took on the St. Louis Blues on Wednesday and the New Jersey Devils on Friday. Obviously, our Devils writer, Scott Fairchild, wrote about the Ranger-Devil game. But we'll start with the game against the Blues that saw the Rangers defeat the 2019 Stanley Cup champions 5-3. Real quick, talk about that game, please.
Well, let's get right to the Blues game. We started off strong in the first period with our now sort of resurgent player, one Alexis Lafreniere, scoring in the first period. However, after a Ryan Strom goal, in the second, we fell to 3-2. However, as the Rangers have been somewhat of a, shall we say, characteristic this season, in the third period, we rallied and came back with three goals, one after the other, one by Patrick Nemeth, which was absolutely beautiful, by the way. Chris Kreider scoring his 35th goal, now putting him again in third, above Alex Ovechkin in the race for the Rocket Richard.
Technically they're tied now, but like, because Ovi scored his 35th last night. So
actually what happened was that during the next game, Kreider scored again. So now he's at 36 above, still one above Ovechkin in the race for the Rocket Richard, only being beaten out by Leon Draisaitl and Austin Matthews. And then Artemi Panarin put it away, being assisted by Adam Fox, our star defenseman. That put away that game. It was a bit of a nail biter, folks, until the third period. At that point, Rangers in characteristic fashion used their abilities of attrition and just their style of attritional play to close it out against the Blues, who, as you said, were pretty much the world champions from last year.
2019. Tampa Bay won the last two Stanley Cups, you know.
Yeah, no, you're right. It was 2019. I remember the St. Louis Blues
during the victory when the please tell me you remember Brett Hull seeing Gloria.
Yep.
While drunk.
Yep.
That was spectacular.
But I'm sorry, but nobody's got the Capitals beat on their 2018 Stanley Cup celebration. I mean, you literally had a drunk Ovechkin swimming in a fountain in DC outside Nats Park.
No, that works. That works. But Brett Hull singing Gloria while oddly drunk in the middle of St. Louis is not funny.
Yeah.
But they all get drunk. I mean, Tom Brady threw the Lombardi from one boat to the other while drunk.
Yeah. Anyways, back on the Rangers.
Well, back to the Rangers. Now we can move to the Devils game. Now, the Devils game, you have to understand something about the New Jersey Devils. The New Jersey Devils are the youngest team in the NHL. And I'm going to be
one of the youngest teams in the NHL.
I'm sorry?
One of the youngest teams in the NHL.
I think they are the youngest.
Because Anaheim is pretty young too.
No, I think they're actually younger than Anaheim.
I know, but what I'm saying is that like Anaheim is pretty close to it too.
Well, that's true.
Because they got a lot of young kids in Anaheim.
Oh yeah, definitely. But I mean, the Devils, I'm going to be honest with you. They're looking to come back. They brought in a new goalie. They brought in one of their projects, his last name is Dawes. What's his first name?
I think it's like Nick Dawes or something.
Nick
like
that. Dawes, something Dawes. To cover up to because he's actually been doing pretty well. He had like a 0.905 goal percentage coming into that game. So he had actually been doing very well over the four games before that.
It's Nico Dawes.
Nico Dawes. Yeah. I mean, they're very forgettable. I mean, after Marty Brodeur, they're very forgettable goalies, honestly, in terms of the Devils. With the first goal of that period being scored by in an absolutely spectacular fashion by Mika Zibanejad, being assisted by Trouba and Kreider, within the first 4 minutes of the game. It was immediately very, very uncharacteristic of the Rangers. They immediately started attacking poor Nico Dawes right out of the gate. I mean, legitimately, like straight, because the Rangers are usually much more heavily defensive, and that's been something of a trademark and other, unfortunately, something of an issue as of late. But that night, they just immediately jumped on this kid like a saber-toothed tiger on prey, man. The Devils answered back with one of their young up-and-comers, Nico Hershier, and tying it up 1-1. But with the second period, Philip Hedl, not a very notorious goal scorer on the third line, being assisted by Lindgren, scored and put the Rangers back up. And then it was finished out with his 36th goal of the season, Chris Kreider, who continues to be a surprise. I mean, Chris Kreider was always a good player. He was always a great player, but he wasn't like the Alex Ovechkin of the Rangers. The Rangers never exactly had that kind of player for a very long time. I mean, like you'd have to go back to the early 2000s or even the 90s in order to see a kind of player like that on the, but now with Chris Kreider now in the running for the Rocket Richard with 36 goals. And it was a spectacular night by the one, the only, the greatest, Igor Shesterkin. An absolutely spectacular night with 32 saves, which says something about the Rangers' defense. the thing is that it relies heavily on Shesterkin and just a lot of block shots. The Devils, believe it or not, oddly enough, this game actually demonstrated how much the Rangers have sort of changed and become more offensively forward at the same time, keeping their notoriously stout defense. And just Shesterkin with 32 saves at night just shows just how much this person is not only probably going to win the Vezina this year, he is looking to be MVP. And if you haven't noticed, if you actually look, the Rangers have a 99% chance of making the playoffs. And they are, in fact, a Stanley Cup contender
probably not the top of the list for Stanley Cup, but up there, very much up there.
They aren't getting past Carolina. I'm sorry.
I don't know. Because apparently the best team in the best team in the NHL right now? I think it's second best. Florida has gone down. I don't think has beaten the Rangers this year.
Well, that doesn't matter. Like, because keep in mind, like going into the Stanley Cup Finals in 2018, the Capitals didn't beat Vegas in the regular season. Like, actually, they were embarrassed by Vegas in the regular season. And then they lost game one in that Wild West shootout game. And then but then the Caps won the next four games. Like, the Capitals just outright dominated the Vegas Golden Knights in the Stanley Cup final and end up winning it in five. So like what you see in the regular season does not always translate into the playoffs. So just because a team doesn't beat another team in the regular season, that usually doesn't always translate into, you know, the playoffs, because it's a completely different animal. Just keep kicking me in the nuts. I know. But I'm looking at standings right now. Number one is actually Colorado.
No, I said the number two best. I know Colorado.
No, number two best is Carolina. Number three best is Florida. Number four is Tampa. Okay. Five is Pittsburgh, and the Rangers are six.
Yeah, that's a spot up from what they were before the Devils game.
Yeah. So like, well, I'm looking at it as a right now, March 6th at like 11 a.m.
Right.
Yeah. So, and then when I look at wild card, Carolina's first, Pittsburgh's in second, Rangers are in third in the Metro, and then Boston has the first wild card and the Capitals have the second wild card, with Columbus 10 points behind the Capitals in regards to wild card. And like, Columbus has to go on a massive tear and the Capitals have to continue the falter in ways in order for that the Capitals to come out of the playoffs. And it looks like at the end of the day, the Capitals will probably take on, if the playoffs were to start today, Boston would take on Florida, keeping them in the Atlantic Division, and the Capitals would take on Carolina, keeping them in the Metro Division.
That's an interesting one, because usually what happens in the playoffs when it comes to when the Rangers used to always make the playoffs, and I mean almost always make the playoffs until 2017, they stopped going to the playoffs constantly. It was almost, and I will say this, Well, that is an interesting take to see whether or not if the playoffs went out now, Washington would not be playing the Rangers in the first round. Because what happens always is that the Rangers, every time they play the Caps, or at least I've noticed this, because let's face it, the real season starts in the playoffs.
Yeah. That's why, like they say, it's like, you know, it's like I said, like when the Caps took on Vegas in the regular season,
and they got
embarrassed. I was at one of the games. But then when you look at how the Caps played Vegas in the playoffs, it was completely different.
You know?
So it's like, you can't always compare how a team plays against another in the regular season. Like
you're really punching me right in the nuts.
And right now you have the Penguins would play the Rangers in the first round. Tampa would play Toronto in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that might be refreshing for the Maple Leafs fans because they're not facing Boston in the first round. And then going into the West, it's Colorado, St. Louis, Minnesota, 1-2-3 in the Central, Calgary, Los Angeles, and Vegas, 1-2-3 in the Pacific. And then you have a much more tighter wild card race in the West, where right now Nashville has the first one and Dallas has the second. But Nashville has 66 points. Dallas has 65 standing points. And in the Central, Nashville is only a point behind Minnesota for third place in the Central Division.
So let's face it. The winner of the Stanley Cup is most likely coming out of the East.
But here's the kicker though. When you look at this, you have Edmonton has 64 points, Vancouver 62, Anaheim 61, Winnipeg 58, and I'm not going to include San Jose because they're at 54 and they'd have to go on a massive tear, which I don't see with San Jose.
San Jose's not going to make it anywhere in the playoffs anyway.
So I'm going to throw this out there. In the Pacific Division, Edmonton, is 2 points behind Vegas. Vancouver is 4 points behind Vegas. Anaheim is 5 points behind Vegas for the third spot in the Pacific Division, because both wildcard spots right now are taken up by Central Division teams in Nashville and Dallas. The only other Central team that is really in the running for the wild card is Winnipeg with 58 points, and they are 9 points behind Minnesota.
Mm-hmm. Well, so, that makes me feel better because we're playing Winnipeg today.
So it's like, so when you look at it from that perspective there, like the West is so much tighter, but like realistically, it right now, it's like your juggernaut is Colorado.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It's yeah.
But at the same time, I would not sleep on Calgary at the same time, because Calgary has turned it, has flipped into another gear. Like Jacob Markstrom, I would not be betting against him. He leads the league in shutouts with 8.
That team is on fire. Yeah, pun intended. Yes. But as I was saying before, it's funny because every time the Caps and the Rangers met in the playoffs, a lot of the time, not every time, but a lot of the time, it was always Rangers beat them in 7 and then would lose the next round.
I was actually at the game when I remember the whole we're louder than MSG thing that Bruce Boudreau started up. So I went to game 5 of that series when the Capitals knocked out the Rangers. And it was also ironically the first time the Capitals had won a series in less than 7 games since 1997-98.
When was that?
That was the year they got bounced by Tampa in 4 the next round. I don't remember. I don't remember the year offhand, but it was like, I don't think it was 2010. I don't remember, but I know Michael Neuwirth was the Capitals goaltender that season. And he had pretty much earned the number one spot over Semyon Varlamov. But then the Capitals screwed things up by signing Thomas Vokoun.
Right.
Yeah, the Capitals end up signing Vokoun, and Nuvi just like showed you he could be the number one guy, and then you go sign Vokoun to be the number one guy instead. And I'm like, that was a kick in the pants to Michael Neuwirth. But the thing is, though, is that, like, I was at that game, so I remember, you know, that was like, okay, cool, the Caps knocked out the Rangers in 5, and then we end up getting swept by Tampa. But then you also learned that the Capitals were really hurt, you know, and stuff like that. But I remember the double overtime winner in game 3 by Jason Chimera. I have John Erskine's game worn jersey from that game.
Dude. The Rangers are currently a Stanley Cup contender. I mean, to be realistic though, I don't think so. In particular, the Rangers haven't, very interesting problem right now. Kevin Rooney is out for a week on IR. We don't have Kaapo Kakko, and we are trying to still figure out the third line, which is when we talk about trade deadline. That might be something that comes up. However,
you still have possibly the greatest liability in your team, Ryan Reeves.
He's not that much of a liability, honestly. He's our answer to Tom Wilson. I know.
We'll get on that, because the way ESPN was framing that storyline the entire time was so stupid.
Of course. They were trying to make it the Tom Wilson versus Ryan Reeves thing, and it was going to, and they were going to have like Carmina Burana playing in the background.
It was also so stupid too, but the other thing is that, like, yeah, but here's the funny thing though. Like, when it comes to playoff time, are you really going to be playing Ryan Reeves? Are you really going to be playing Ryan Reeves? Because
he's not doing that badly. He's a solid player.
Yeah, he's a decent fourth liner that is a healthy scratch a lot. And he didn't play the game against St. Louis.
Yeah.
But he did play the game against New Jersey. And it should be noted that, like, in the playoffs the past few seasons, I think it was like last season, like somebody had asked Jamie Benn, like, how do you deal with Ryan Reeves? And he just said, you ignore him. Because like Like, there's a saying, like, when it comes to players like Ryan Reeves, he's an asset to you when he's on the ice because he's always a liability because he isn't the greatest hockey player. You know,
I don't know. He's been he's just been solid lately, honestly.
And
I
mean, he's also been known to take a lot more dumb penalties, which can cost your team. So it's like, yeah, we kind of want him on the ice because he's probably going to take a dumb penalty that's going to put us on the power play. Well, we're going to ignore him. And here's the thing. I know you're about to say Tom Wilson this.
I'm not about to say anything having to do with Tom Wilson.
Probably somebody up in the New York area is going to go, oh, but Tom Wilson.
Of course they're going to be saying something about Tom Wilson.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though. Like, you know, and this is the funny thing. There's 31 teams out there that would love to have Tom Wilson on their team. Just throw that out there. But the thing is, though, is that, like, you know, and I had this conversation with my dad because it's like the only time my dad has ever seen Tom Wilson play is against the Flyers, the Rangers, or the Hurricanes.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
I've been watching him all season. When you actually watch a player all season, you start to really learn their tendencies and stuff. And you can see, like in Tom Wilson's case, how he's trying to fix his game. And not to be one of the, like, trying to do headshots or anything like that.
But no, oddly enough, one of the things I noticed about Ryan Reeves is that it's not really Ryan Reeves. Ryan Reeves, I think, is just with his solid, stony, intimidating presence. He's dialed it back. I think he's honestly dialed it back. I think he's just there because just for teams to know, okay, they have him. They have their Sean Avery back. But no, he's a lot less of a nozzle than Sean Avery.
Had a great 2-day return with the Orlando Solar Bears of the ECHL.
But the thing is that it's not Ryan Reeves that does the big hits. It's Jacob Trouba, and Trouba is extremely clean with how he does it.
I don't know. He's had a couple predatory hits this season. I mean, so is Nathan MacKinnon of the Colorado Avalanche, but there were a few hits where, you know, the hits were clean,
but they were pretty predatory. They're
also a little predatory at the same time. You can have a clean hit and still have it be a predatory hit. That was one of the problems with Tom Wilson in the beginning over the last few seasons until he got that 20-game suspension. And even with the 7-game suspension, you know, I put up the argument as to why Wilson deserved the suspension. It was because, A, the hit itself would have been clean, but because he had his hands up when he was going in for the hit and it connected with Brandon Carlo's head, that's why the suspension needed to happen, because he had his hands up and he hit the head. If he didn't have his hands up, it would have been a shoulder-on-shoulder hit. But, like, with Trouba, yeah, you're hitting a guy cleanly in the chest like he does, but the problem is that some of those hits he's got them when the guy's head's down and when the puck's not there, so they're also late hits, and those are the predatory hits.
Yeah,
so, and that's the thing. So it's like Trouba has a little bit of predatoryness to him, you know. And I know the Ranger fans are going after me, going like, oh, you monsters, like, you have Tom Wilson. Yes, okay, I get it, I have Tom Wilson. But, you know, watching those hits, and like I said, Nathan MacKinnon's the same way. The fact that Nathan MacKinnon has not been suspended for some of his hits this season alone,
Nathan MacKinnon's dirtier.
Oh, no. And that's why I brought Nathan MacKinnon. Because Nathan MacKinnon has done some much dirtier hits than some of the hits would also that he would hit throw would be considered clean, but he's done a little bit dirtier than, like, say, Jacob Trouba has. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's like, you know, and that's also why, even though the Players Association will never agree to it, they need to put in the next CBA a tier system for discipline in general. So it's like, if you do a headshot, it's an automatic 1-game suspension. If you do it again, it's like 5 games. If you do it again after that, it's like 15 games. You do it again after that, you're missing half the season.
Sidney Crosby would probably love that.
But then here's the other thing. You got to do it for all the other stuff too, like slashing and because remember, you know, Sidney Crosby did hack off Mark Methot's finger. You got to do it for spearing, because Sidney Crosby likes to spear guys in the junk.
Yeah, we know that he's the extremely dirty player.
And then you also got to do something about slew footing, because you got Subban who does slew footing. Evgeny Malkin loves the slew foot guys.
Yeah, we know that PK Subban loves to do that, because PK Subban has just completely, totally earned himself on the permanent S list for Rangers fans. But that is usually reserved. Even Tom Wilson, I don't think, is on the permanent S list. But PK Subban has. Why? Because he did almost exactly as much damage as Dennis Potvin did to a Rangers player. He caused Sammy Bly, I think it was Bly. His ACL was torn because of what Subban did.
Oh yeah,
and that.
But the players' association is never going to agree to it, and the owners are never going to agree to it either, is that you need to have tiered actual set discipline that needs to be doled out. So like when a player gets suspended, like we'll take Brad Marchand. What Marchand did with Tristan Jarry was completely unnecessary. There was absolutely no reason for him to act the way he
isn't on the, isn't still on.
Hold on. Let me finish. There's absolutely no reason for Marchand to punch Tristan Jarry and then take his stick and then try to raise it underneath his goalie mask. He deserved that 6-game suspension, especially the fact that he's legitimately the most suspended active player in the NHL.
This is Brad Marchand.
That was his, like, think about that for a second.
Yeah.
With all the hate that Tom Wilson gets,
he doesn't get that much hate anymore, honestly.
But no, let me finish. Tom Wilson has been suspended less times than Brad Marchand. Keep that in mind. But also, and somebody brought this up in a really good article, and I don't remember who wrote it, but they said the reason Marchand got the 6 games was because it was an accumulation of all the suspensions that he had gotten. And all of his suspensions were usually always for something different. Tom Wilson would usually get suspended for about the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, and other players would normally get suspended for about the same thing. Now note, Subban has been fined twice. And I noticed that there is slightly a tier system for dangerous trip. That's how they word it, a dangerous trip. And so his first fine was like the maximum, I guess, for a level 1 citation. And then his second citation, I believe, was like $15,000 fine. So it was a very significant, you know, increase from like, I think the $5,000 to the $15,000. But my question is like, okay, but the thing is though, is that he's still technically doing it. Why haven't you done any more fines, let alone suspend Subban for it? Like, he's doing a dangerous play all the time.
Yeah, we know. And it cost a Rangers player his entire season because of one of those really dangerous plays.
Yeah. By the way, how's Barclay Goodrow doing for you?
He's doing very well, actually. He's quite the Swiss Army knife.
Yeah. But yeah.
He's been a lifesaver on that third line, oddly enough.
But yeah, but anyways, because we've kind of deetered away. For the Rangers tonight, they take on the Winnipeg Jets in Winnipeg.
I think that's going to be a win, honestly. The fact of the matter is that the Rangers are gotten it after a slight slump against Pittsburgh and Vancouver, now going on a red hot, and now their streak is red hot. They're going on a 4-game
road trip. Yeah, road trip. Start in Winnipeg tonight. That'll be on MSG Plus.
That's a win.
And then Tuesday night, they're going to be in Minnesota. That will be on MSG.
I think that's a win, too.
I don't know about that one.
I think it's a win. I said I think. I'm not very solid. It's a win.
If you notice, I didn't do predictions on my Caps games, but, you know.
I'm going to do predictions. Hit me with the – and the –
On Thursday, they play in St. Louis. That will also be on MSG. That's an 8 p.m. start.
That could go either way.
And then they play the Dallas Stars on Saturday at 8 p.m. That also will be on MSG.
I think that's going to be a win.
And so that's a 4-game road trip. I can tell you right now, Minnesota, you could very well lose that game. Dallas, you could very well lose that game as well, because Dallas, you know, I like Jake Oettinger. He's a great goalie. Braden Holtby is a good number two to him. St. Louis has a great way of bouncing back. They did that, I believe, last night as well. No, they lost to the Islanders 2-1 yesterday, but that was a close game.
Look, I'm saying the only definitive, the only one I'm going to say is almost as pretty much a definitive one is the Winnipeg Jets. The rest of them could go either way.
Like
I'm more heavy on towards the Rangers on the Minnesota and Dallas, but again, it's still a possible loss. St. Louis could go either way because I think St. Louis, if they are able to keep it up, especially if they don't burn themselves out by the third period, then they'll be able to probably put a cap on the Rangers as long as they don't fall to attrition. The issue is that the Rangers always play an attritional game. They'll tire you out. They won't try to score particularly big, unless it's the Devils, then they'll go right after them. But they won't try to score particularly big in the beginning, but it's towards the end is when they wear you out and then all of a sudden they explode on you. That could be taken numerous ways. I'm not going to get into because it's PG-13. but here's an interesting bit. I looked up something about Chris Kreider. There's something about him is being in the running for Rocket Richard. People are actually really surprised that he is because he's what they call a garbage man. Have you ever heard that term?
Not really. I mean, I may have heard of it, but it's probably been a while since I've heard of that term.
Now, here's the interesting thing. The majority of Chris Kreider's goals, he's called a garbage man because he loves to get not just the rebounds, but his average distance from the goal is 13.6 feet, which is the shortest out of all those on that list. He's literally in the goalie's face when he scores his goals primarily, which is very, you know, it's basically characteristic of him. He's a very, very aggressive player. He's always been an aggressive player. He's not quite the enforcer, but he's an aggressive player who's done some dirty things, I'll admit. He's Chris Kreider. What's to expect from a BC Eagle? I'm a Northeastern Huskies fan because that was my alma mater. And God, there was times I jeered at Chris Kreider at some point, and now I love him. And I have this love-hate relationship with him.
Yeah. But anyways, because we gotta.
Yeah, we have to keep going. We have to get to it. Pretty much in regards to power play, the Rangers have actually truly improved their power play from their earlier years during the 2010s to now, when they used to actually be very bad with power play, but used to be extremely good with the penalty kill. They're actually number four now, I think, with power in being with the power play, and number seven with the penalty. Actually, no, sorry. Number four with penalty kill, number seven with power play, which is a very marked improvement, especially now that they're over the past few games, their power play percentage has been the best in the NHL with 33.3%. So that is actually very strange and is a positive for the Rangers. Now the issue is now with coming with the looming trade deadline is that third line and the fact that the Rangers, albeit are the fourth youngest team in the NHL, which is a good thing. However, they don't really have much in terms of depth, especially with the injuries to Kaapo Kakko, sort of exposing that, as well as the IR with Kevin Rooney. We had to do a little bit of fudging. And also the third line has been, as it's been numerous times over the past few seasons, a weakness. And they need to, Chris Drury especially, has been a wonderful GM, but he definitely needs to work on that third line and getting some depth.
So going to bounce around real quick. So I'll do plugs at the end because we might be running on time. So news and notes real quick in the NHL, the only big major news that came out this week is that the NHL has re-awarded the Carolina Hurricanes a stadium series outdoor game. Originally the Hurricanes were supposed to host the stadium series in Raleigh back in the 2020-21 season, but due to the pandemic and the shortened season, that game was obviously canceled. Rumored opponent for that one was in theory going to be the Tampa Bay Lightning, but they ended up playing against Nashville in Nashville in this season's stadium series that took place a couple weeks ago. So on Saturday, February 18th, 2023, at the Carter Finley Stadium in Raleigh, North Carolina, which is right next to the arena that the Hurricanes play in and share the same parking lot, they will be taking on the Washington Capitals. This will be the first ever outdoor game for the Hurricanes in their franchise history, but this will mark the fourth time the Capitals play in an outdoor game and second time playing in a stadium series event. The Caps are currently 3-0-0 in outdoor games as they defeated the Penguins 3-1 in Pittsburgh at Heinz Field in 2011, the Chicago Blackhawks 3-2 at Nats Park in 2015. I was at that game, and at Navy Marine Corps Memorial Stadium in Annapolis, Maryland against the Toronto Maple Leafs 5-2 in 2018. So that was the big news for the week in the NHL. And then in women's hockey, they are currently having the PWHPA showcase at MedStar Capital's Iceplex in Ballston, Virginia, which is the Washington Capitals practice facility. On Friday, the team Sonnet Insurance would defeat Team Bauer 4-3. Then yesterday in day two, you had Team Scotiabank defeating Team Adidas 6-2, which will then lead Team Bauer and Team Adidas will face each other in a consolation game, which is happening as we speak during this recording session. And Team Scotiabank will take on Team Sonnet Insurance in the championship game this afternoon. In the Premier Hockey Federation, we had two games played yesterday. We had the Boston Pride defeat the Metropolitan Riveters 2-0, and the Connecticut Whale defeat the Minnesota Whitecaps 4-2. Both of those weekend series will be wrapping up this day, and we'll have more on that next week in next week's episode. So that is your quick women's hockey wrap up. So with that, before I do socials, just again, this show is affiliated with coolhockey.com. They are a great place to be buying hockey jerseys from. I get a bunch of mine. I was actually wearing my Capitals retro red Adidas jersey customized with my name and number on it to the Caps Kraken game last night. Definitely highly recommend Cool Hockey. Click the link below. By clicking the link below and doing a purchase, TXHT may get a portion of the purchase. So with that, Ethan, where can the people find you on social media?
They can find me at social media on Twitter, but please don't contact me on Twitter.
You can find me on Twitter, but don't contact me on Twitter.
Don't contact me because Twitter's evil. I'm on Facebook. You can look me up. No political stuff, though. I don't want to see your political views, honestly. Don't do it. But there'll be a take on that later. But you can find me on Facebook. You can hit me up on Twitter at Mr. Ethan Blee. You can definitely tell it's me by the image of Darth Vader saying your father, looking like the lid of the Godfather. So that is me. Other than that, I do not have an Instagram because I'm too lazy. I don't have a TikTok. I don't like it here. I don't like it anywhere. I don't like green eggs and ham. I do not like it, Sam. I am. So, So other than Twitter, which I will most likely not see your notifications. And, so I don't have to hear Cast fans telling me how much I suck. Please, you can feel free to hit me there, I guess. Other than that, Rangers fans, holl at me. That was it for my social media presence.
Okay. So for me, you can find me on Twitter at the Lindenbaum 75, Facebook at facebook.com/X75Productions. For the show itself, it is at TXHT_hockey on Twitter, facebook.com/TXHT hockey. And then obviously the website, which you can see all the dailies, game recaps from the Devils by Scott, weeklies for the Caps by me, Kraken by Scott, Canadians by Dixon, women's hockey coverage from Shaggy, and occasionally when I'm able to write myself, I will write women's hockey coverage as well. That's all at txhthockey.com. And of course, all the other podcasts that I do, Voices from the Grid, Awesome Mania, Nerdy Notions, those are also all on the website as well. So with that, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, he is Ethan Bloom. I am Michael Lindenbaum. This has been TXHT. Come visit us at txhthockey.com. Come with us with your horrible, horrible takes or really good takes. Depends on how we view your take. That's up to us, not you. But with that, I know there are some things that we didn't talk about, but due to time constraints, we had to kind of cut short. But we will try to get to those in the future. So with that, we wish you adieu. And until next time, we will see you on the ice.